All right, so we heard Gerard Cherry, Mr. Old School, say you got to honor the 24-hour rule.
Gerard Cherry here for Tomo Sushi and Hibachi.
And in that sexy voice, he did that. He said, honor the 24-hour rule. Don't keep talking about Sunday's game beyond Sunday. But we've declared this a victory Tuesday. We're using the term marinate. We're letting the win sort of marinate for one more day, 24 more hours. And I just thought it was appropriate on this show. Because we get to do this. This is a feature of ours that we have that really you can get nowhere else but here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, is that, you know, we reach out. We put in a – well, I can do it by text now because technology allows you to do that. You send this text up to the big ring in the sky, as I call it, and make a request to the late, great Randy Macho Man Savage for our segment that we call Bringing Randy Back from the Dead to talk about the Browns. And Randy, and thank you for taking a couple of minutes to join us. Now, my question is your take. You saw what kind of a week it was leading up to this game. Tumultuous stuff was going on, and yet the Browns overcome. I am so interested to hear what you have to say about it.
Woo, Vic, yeah, thanks for reaching out to the macho man upstairs to talk about the Cleveland Browns, becoming a little bit of a Browns fan while I'm up there, if I do say so myself, yes. And I'll tell you what, sometimes you think you have it all together in one piece act and the fractions and splinters off like Trent Richardson. You remember when the mega powers exploded? Yeah, WrestleMania 5, me and the Hulkster, we were tight, yeah, but the madness was ahead of the mania and he didn't like it. Well, I'll tell you what, Trent Richardson, boom, see ya, goodbye, and the Browns take home a victory. Why? They get a guy named Flash Gordon. Josh Gordon, yeah, I'd like to give you one of my robes because I think you, sir, are a star and you are a macho man. And speaking of macho men, Barkevious Mingo, they should call him Macho Mingo. 2 sacks in 2 games, like what I see from that young man. I think the Browns have what it takes to keep on going and going and going. Yeah, maybe they need a few more pieces of macho men, but right now I think they've got some building blocks and every house needs a foundation. Look it up if you don't believe me. Yeah.
Love it. Macho, thank you. And I know you got a lot of other things going on up there in the ring, but you know, just for you to come down here and take a couple of minutes to join our show is a pleasure. We'll hit you up again down the line.
Anytime. Always a pleasure to talk to the Notorious One. You know, up in the big heaven up above, there's a Notorious B.I.G., and I've become pretty good friends with him. So the fact that you're Notorious B.I.C., I'll dig that. Yeah, I sure do.
Randy Macho Man Savage coming back from the dead to join us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. I mean, that's you just don't get that anywhere else.
No, I think that's exclusive to Cleveland Browns Daily.
It's remarkable.
We should get him an F-150, the Macho Man.
He should.
From Liberty Ford?
Yeah. Up there. Liberty Ford, we got to send one up to the heavens.
Yeah.
That would be great promotion. 216-578-0850. He'll join our F-150 club. Is Jeremy in Parma going to join us now? Jeremy, you with us?
Yeah, hey guys.
What's up, Jeremy?
I just think this whole Trent Richardson thing is a little blown out of proportion. I really don't think the guy was proven. He was injured a lot. I mean, he did play injured and everything, but as far as him being the best player on the team, I don't feel that. I mean, you got Joe Hayden, DeQuell Jackson, Joe Thomas, and then like I heard Nathan saying yesterday, Jordan Cameron, one of the, if not the biggest piece on our offense. I mean, I believe we got rid of a really good player, but as far as marking him the best player on our team, I can't agree with that.
I agree with you, and I think that's what we've been saying. They did get rid of a good player, and I think that Trent Richardson hopefully will be able to fulfill the promise that many have for him in the National Football League. But thus far, you look at the numbers, 3.5 yards a carry, you look at the lack of big runs, they're all towards the bottom of the barrel, to be honest, not even mediocre. So Trent Richardson was not the best player on this team. I think you can just look to the fact that not that just because they won without him and they didn't win with him in 2013, but it's just a changing National Football League, and the priority and emphasis is not necessarily on having a superstar running back. Nobody is better in the NFL than Adrian Peterson. He sits at 0-3 after 3 weeks. So it's just a changing in the NFL, and they felt that they could get a building block to adapt to this game, and that's why they've got that first-round pick for Trent Richardson. So I think we all agree with you. I think it's amazing how much the hatred has settled down in a week. And especially now you look at him go to Indianapolis and you look at the first game and he averages less than 3 yards a carry in the same game, and Ahmad Bradshaw averages over 5 yards a carry. And all of a sudden you wonder what the national consensus is going to be if in a couple of weeks Ahmad Bradshaw continues to outplay Trent Richardson. Then is it just a clear cut and this was, you know, highway robbery by the Cleveland Browns? You just wonder.
I mentioned that I was in Canton earlier today at the Pro Football Hall of Fame with Jim Brown. We're shooting a piece that is going to air locally,
nationally, on
NFL Network about the fact that he will be in the Browns Ring of Honor on Thursday night. Not that the piece is about him being at the Hall. That's going to run in correlation with that, I should say. It's all about him going through the artifacts. And you want to talk about cool. Yeah, I've been to the Hall many times. I know you've been there. To be there with the man whose house it is, is a whole different experience than to see him walk
cool.
in the door. But you know what they were talking about besides oohing and aahing that Jim Brown was there? They were talking about what a great week this was for the Browns, how important that win was, how it changed the conversation. Because everybody, and there's quite obviously Northeast Ohio employees of the Pro Football Hall of Fame are Browns fans. A lot of them are. And hearing them come up to me, you know, one after the other, saying how big this deal was. And, you know, interestingly, we were trying to put in perspective this trade, right, and what it meant through the years. And I talked to – so you're at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and what do you do at the Pro Football Hall of Fame? You do research, okay? The best research in the NFL is there. October 14th, 1980, Dave Casper traded from the Oakland Raiders to the Houston Oilers in exchange for a number one draft pick in 1981. That guy's name was Ted Watts. He was a defensive back, 21st overall pick, and a number two draft pick who became, in 1981, a Hall of Famer by the name of Howie Long, defensive end, and a number two draft pick in 1982 who became a guy named Jack Squirek, a linebacker who made a heroic play for the Raiders in the Super Bowl. And then in September 20th, 1983, Casper got traded again along with Archie Manning from those Houston Oilers, those then Houston Oilers, to the Vikings in exchange for a number two draft pick in 84 that was traded to the Dallas Cowboys, a number four pick in 84 who became a guy named Patrick Allen, a defensive back. And then the other big in-season trade, one of the others, October 22nd, 1974, the Cowboys trade quarterback Craig Morton to the New York Giants in exchange for two draft picks, a number one in 1975, second overall, who became a guy named Randy White,
and not bad.
And then number two draft pick in 1976, Jim Jensen, who was a running back. So deals have been made because a lot of those questions were asked about, you know, how unusual is this, and it isn't very typical. You got to go back that far to find those deals, to find the last time such a deal was made. All right, do we got time for a tweet?
Oh, we'll make time for one tweet.
All right, David.
We can do that.
Dave DiNatale, our outstanding producer. What do we got, Mike?
We have got here from both Michael Krocek and also from Paul Myers, just asking, with Laval's return and a week for McGahee, do you think the run game will create that 1-2 punch that we need offensively?
I don't know. I'm not optimistic.
I don't know either. That the jury is still out there on the running game because it wasn't good last year when Laval was there. It's going to be... That's one thing. The Browns don't need to have a great running game. They don't need to have a dominant running game. They need to be able to get 4 yards a carry. If they can start averaging 4 yards a carry, get themselves into some third and shorts, this offense is going to be able to be on the field a lot more than it currently is and not so reliant on the pass game. But at least the good news is the two top playmakers on this offense, Josh Gordon and Jordan Cameron, are both in the pass game. So at least you got that going for it, which is nice.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for a Football Tuesday. Hooley and Gerard is coming up next right here on ESPN 850 WKNR. We'll be back with you tomorrow on Cleveland Browns Daily,
driven by Liberty Ford. Oh, here we go, Browns. Here we go.
The preceding program was a production of the Cleveland Browns and a part of the Browns Media Network.